Okay, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. You're probably wondering if we were going to finish Philippians chapter 3. We're not done yet. Then we got another chapter to go, and after that, who knows? Philippians chapter 3, verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. It's something to think about, and not to have that effect. I mean, Paul's saying that he tells us even weeping that there are those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue, or is able even to subdue, all things unto himself. Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence tonight, and we come, Father, seeking that we might know. We come asking that you might give, Father, unto us understanding. Father, we confess our need. We confess our inability. We confess, Father, our shortcomings, our sin. We confess, Father, our lack of understanding. And so we come unto you tonight and ask you to speak unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've spoken somewhat about our need to copy examples. You look confused. Philippians 3, verse 17. But we're told of our need to copy. We have talked some, a little bit. I was going to say at some length, but not really. We talked a little bit about copying great examples. That's the thing that's said unto us in verse number 17. Then in the next two verses, we're told to beware of those who are false professors. We're told they mind earthly things. It's one of the things that's told to us about them. Another thing is that they are enemies of Christ. The third thing that's mentioned there is that their end is destruction. Then in the last two verses, verse 20 and 21, we're told to look to the end. Where's your home? It's not right here behind me down the road. Our home is in heaven. And we are to follow this that Paul is presenting to us until the Lord comes to get us. Lastly, I think that what is indicated here is that we're being fashioned here, and in a future sense we'll be fashioned for that place when you see there at the end of verse 21, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, having said that he shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So the Christian life, we can kind of sum it up in a way that it's a process of pursuing Christ-likeness. I heard one man say today as I was listening to some messages, and he was mentioning how that, you know, here's something that's said to us in verse number 17. There's a commandment, you know, that's given in a sense. I mean, we're told to be followers. And he was talking about that those who desire and those that are indeed true Christians, those who desire Christ, that's a welcome thing, to be told more of what we're supposed to do, more of how we are to live. Be followers, he says here. Those who that's not the case with, they look at that and it's it's kind of like a requirement that they really, you know, I mean, something else, I really got to do another thing. I thought I had enough to do already. And there's more. But that's not the heart of the believer. The heart of the believer is, yes, more. I desire to know more. I desire to understand more. I desire to want to be more like Christ. You remember our Lord said to the disciples, he said, follow me. And there were those that left their nets and they followed him. Him telling them that he would make them fishers of men. But when we think about this idea, or continue to think about this idea of examples, he says there in verse 17, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. So he gives kind of a, if you're going to follow some others, make sure that they're those that are following what we've showed you as a pattern. So we see Paul setting himself up here as a pattern. I used to work in a wood shop. Before any of y'all, besides Teresa, besides you, before y'all were born, and we made these consoles that would fit into Suburbans, and we had patterns. And so I would take the pattern, and in the beginning we had to take and put it on a blank of wood. Because there would be a wood piece of wood cut the same size of this one of the side panels of that console, and we had to take a pencil and we had to, you know, trace around it, and then we had to take a jigsaw and had to cut it out. Well, later on, you know, as the shop grew and as we got better tools, you know, we had an inverted router, and we had the template or the pattern, and it would sit down on the blank, and we'd push a lever, and it would, because it had a gasket on one side of it, it would suction itself down to the blank. The pattern would be on that blank of wood. And then we would take, and it was an inverted router, so the bit that would cut would come up from the bottom when you pushed a foot pedal, and there would be a pin that came down from the top. And of course, the pin was tracing the outside of that pattern, and the bit underneath was cutting, you know, the blank at the same time, making an exact duplicate, you know, of that side panel that would go on there. So, you know, Paul's setting himself forth here as that pattern. And he's saying, follow those who follow, you know, our example. And, you know, as we think about that, can we say the same thing? You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. There's the pattern. There's the example. Paul's following the example of Christ. And Paul's saying, follow me, as I follow Christ, in essence. You know, can we point to ourselves, in other words, to people and say, follow me? That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I'm following Christ, follow me. And if we're going to do what Paul's saying here, he says, be followers together, or be followers, yeah, be followers together of me. Or we could say, be followers together with me, but of me as well, because he's following Christ. And so in following Christ, he can tell us to follow him because he's following Christ, because that's the same thing as Christ saying, follow me, because Paul is following Christ. But can we set ourselves forth, you know, before men and say, follow me? Like Paul has said, follow me as I follow Christ. So, you know, there's the example that Paul, you know, kind of sets there before us. And then he talks about those who are not examples, you know, there in verses 18 and 19. But there are those that we've talked about how that we ought to imitate. There are things that we see in people that we can imitate. We say that certainly is something to imitate. I see that person's prayer life, or I see that person's kindness and meekness. I see that person's giving spirit and attitude. I see that person helping. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were mentioning how that in the congregation they're a part of, there are certain people that are the ones that are always going to help. Others, you know, they don't. And you would think they look and they would see the example of the ones that are helping. But then she was even further lamenting that there's one particular individual who always does show up to help, but the whole time that he's helping, he's complaining. And so you're almost like, well, we'd rather you not even be here, because, you know, you're complaining the whole time you're here because there aren't other people helping. and you're complaining about what you're given to do. So, it makes it difficult. You'd almost rather not have. But then again, what are we called to be? Even to that person, we're called to be an example. We're called to be an example to those people that are sitting out there and they're not doing anything. We're called to be an example to the person that is showing up, but he doesn't want to be there. Hopefully he can see what we've been talking about the heart. He can look at you and say, okay, this person's heart is in this. It's not just that they're required to do it. It's not just that they've been tasked with this job and this duty to do it. It's that they really want to do it. And that's not in me. And the Lord may convict their hearts and say, that needs to change about me. Here I am. I never see them complain. Here I am complaining all the time. I'm surprised that they even want to be, around me, because I always complain. We're called to do all things without murmuring and disputing. So, hopefully that would be the reaction that would be brought about, in that person's life, is that they would see, look, there's somebody they're doing what they're been given to do or asked to do, and they desire to do it. Their heart's in it. They're not complaining about it. They're glad. They're even, whistling while they work, sort of thing. They're happy, to do it. It's not a grievous thing to them. It's a joyous thing. And there are those who are weaker around us that we are called to be an example unto. I mean, I look at you as my children here, and I look at you older too, and you are to be an example to the younger too. I mean, you know what I taught you. You know what I expect of you. And if you're with them in a situation or a context that I'm not there, and there's something they were doing that you knew I wouldn't approve of, or their mother wouldn't approve of, then, I would expect, you to say, Dad doesn't, want us to do that. That's not something that, we do. You can't do that. You are to be an example. The supreme example in that situation would be that you yourself, aren't doing it. Because you can be a good example and you can be a bad example. We talked about that a little bit last week, didn't we, about having discernment. That wasn't the word that I used, though. What word did I use? It wasn't discernment. It did start with a D, though. But it has to do with that. I mean, being discerning.
Discriminate.
Yes. I wanted you to be able to discriminate, judge between this and that. This, what's right? What's wrong? What should I do here? What should I not do here? Is this something that's going to benefit me? Is it not going to benefit me? Is it going to cause me to go further down the road, in my walk with Christ? Or is it going to detract? Is it going to be a weight of sin that so easily besets me? And the image that I get in my mind when I think about that is, playing football and them tying those big tractor tires, around our waist. We'd have this belt that we'd hook up with a rope to the tractor tire, and here you go, pulling that thing down the football field. Well, it was a weight. Of course, what the scripture says is the weight of sin, which so easily besets us, lay aside those things. So having, a discerning, a discriminatory, spirit about you, not a judgmental spirit. I'm not talking about that, though you must judge, but, not going around saying, well, that person shouldn't be doing that just in that way. You look at that situation and say, that's not right. I'm going to pray for that person because that's not good for them. And Lord, help me. Or look at myself even and say, Lord, am I doing that? And even to a degree, am I saying that what I'm doing is okay, and yet I'm pointing my finger at them and I'm doing the same thing, that they're doing. So, but our example can be a reproof to other people. So here we are. We're, doing what we've been given to do. It's in our heart to do it. We're doing it as unto the Lord. We're not doing it before men to be men pleasers, but we're doing it to glorify God. And so in the doing of it in that way, we can be an example for reproof. We can be an example for encouragement. It can encourage people. I mean, I don't know if it's been your experience, Rebecca, Andrew, at work, if there's been people that are the ones that are, they're just the, the non-complainers. They're the ones that that do their job. They show up on time. They don't complain. Are there any people like that at work? Yes.
Happy
not really.
Yeah.
I mean, so are there people though that are an example for an encouragement? Like, you know, I want to be able to do, you know, that person's doing their job, you know, that kind of thing. You know, that's what we want to be. If there's not one there where you are, then you need to be that person. That you're there when you're supposed to be there. That you're the one that's attentive. You know, you're ready. You know, Andrew's circumstances, that he's ready. He's watching, you know, what's happening. You know, the guy that's got more experience is the lead guy. And here he is, and he's watching what that guy's doing. And he's ready to hand him the next thing that he may need. You know, like we see in those shows, you know, where the doctor is doing surgery and you know, we hear the doctor say scalpel, and he's got his hand out, but that nurse, that surgical nurse, I mean, she's seen this procedure so many times. She knows before he even asks for the scalpel that he's going to be asking for it. So she's ready. And so, you know, being an example for an encouragement, that's a pleasing thing in the sight of the Lord, you know, for us to do what we do as unto the Lord. I can remember being given the assignment of mowing the churchyard. And I can remember thinking, Lord, I want to do this. You know, that's God putting that thought in your mind. I want to do this as unto you. I don't want to complain about it because somebody else could be doing it that's not doing it. I don't want to complain about it because I'm always the one that has to do it. But I've been given this responsibility. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have the responsibility to do it. Now, I'm not going to say I did it perfectly, because I would always put the setting of the lawnmower down on the scalp mode so that hopefully I wouldn't have to mow it as often. But it didn't really have a scalp mode. It was just the low setting. And my grandpa would always come by and say, son, you know, that's too short. And I'm like, I kick it back up, you know, a notch. But I'm thinking it's all a bunch of weeds. You can't kill the stuff. It's a bunch of bahia grass. It's going to come back. But that wasn't the way he wanted it, so I had to adjust it. You know, he was in a position of authority, you know, over me. So, but I can remember having that thought, that the Lord saying unto me, do this as unto me. I know it's just mowing grass, but do this as unto me. You know, do this in a pleasing way. You know, what's that look like? If I'm going to do this as unto the Lord, you know, I've given that to you already, but I want to hear it from you. You know, what does that look like if I'm doing something as pleasing unto the Lord? What's that look like in God's sight? Okay, doing without murmuring and complaining. It's not just one single answer. You know, doing without murmuring and complaining. What else? Doing the best of your ability, doing the best job that you can, not cutting corners, and not saying, well, nobody can see behind the church. I don't really have to mow back there. You know. But the grass is growing back there too. What else? So we're doing it to the best of our ability. We're doing it without murmuring and complaining. You got anything to add? What else?
That it would be honoring
to the Lord. Okay. So that's that. Everything you're telling me, you know, is it has to do, you know, with this one thing. It's what does my heart look like before the Lord? You know, what does He see? Because I can go out there and I can mow, and people can say, oh, look at that. He's always out there. He does such a good job. He works so hard. But inside, I could just be like, I can't believe I have to do this. I'd rather be doing something else. You know, this is not fair. You know, all that stuff could be going on, and it would be like not even doing it in the sight of the Lord. Because I mean, the whole time he hears what's going on inside me and what my heart's like. So, you know, that's not a good example before people. And you know, you can fool some people. Other people you know that are close to you, you're not necessarily going to fool them. But we need to observe others with a view to imitate. You know, what do we see about that person that's something in, you know, them that I can imitate? They do a better job of that than I do. And Lord, I want to be able to reach, you know, that place. You know, I think about there's some, and I'll, the reason I can say this is because, you know, I can remember being this person. But there are some in the congregation, you know, here that they do not want me to call upon them to pray. You know, I can remember when I was a kid, and I knew when the time was the preacher was going to call on somebody, and there's enough people that I could just stand right over here and step behind that person, and maybe, you know, he wouldn't see me, you know, when I was younger. And that's not, you know, you got to examine, you know, why is this? Why is it that I feel this way? Is it because I'm afraid of what people may think of me because I'm praying out loud before them? You know, what's driving it? You know, what's the reason behind it? Why? You know, do I feel this way? You know, why do I not want to do this? And want to overcome that so that I can be the example unto others, you know, that I desire to be for God's glory. You know, it's not for me, it's for Him that I'm seeking, you know, to live before and to live for, to honor and glorify Him. So, you know, we need to examine those things, but Paul, you know, when you think about examples here, you know, and just one thing we could say just recently, and thinking about Paul being a pattern, he said, have no confidence in the flesh. You know, thinking about praying before people and in the sight of people and in the earshot of people and worried about what people are going to think about what you say and how you pray, and that you may not be as good of a prayer, if you want to put it in that context, as or as good at praying as someone else, you know, is. But it's unto the Lord. It's not before men. You know, we're not, if we're doing it before men, and so now I'm going to hone this skill of praying before other people so that other people really, when they hear me pray, they're going to say, wow, that was some kind of prayer. If that's what you're after is the praise of men, the Lord told the Pharisees, you have your reward. You know, that's what you want. You want the praise of men? Fine. That's what you'll have. But the praise that we're looking for is not from men. It's the Lord. We want to glorify, you know, Him. So, but as far as examples go, one man said that he will usually be the most holy man who associates with the most holy companions. You know, birds of a feather flock together in a sense, but you know, here, you know, I want to be, you know, like so and so. Well, I'm spending time, you know, with so and so. You know, because here they are, they're walking and they're in greater light. I'm looking for wisdom. And so, you know, we go to camp, you know, there in Arkansas, and, you know, how many of us younger preachers, you know, are found, you know, at some point along the way, you know, we might be standing over with Brother Don Johnson asking him a question. You know, because here's someone who's walked with the Lord longer. You know, he's got some wisdom maybe on a subject that we don't have wisdom on. We want some more wisdom on. And so, you know, I'm putting myself in a situation, you know, where, you know, I could be around him to be able to hear. And it may not be a specific question. You know, it may just be, you know, sitting amongst, you know, the other men, you know, as they're speaking and hearing some of the things, you know, that are being said. And you, of course, you can apply that in different contexts besides just that immediate one. But that's the kind of thing that Paul is really exhorting us to here in regards to an example. You know, Paul had his head in the clouds, in a sense. What would be the opposite of that? You know, a person that walks around with their head in the clouds, what's the opposite of a person that walks around with their head in the clouds? Persons whose feet are firmly planted upon the ground. And usually you have one or the other, but Paul's both, and his feet are firmly planted upon the ground of where he is, what the Lord's given him to do. But then again, his thoughts, you know, are towards, you know, his conversation is towards what we see there in the last two verses. It's towards heaven itself. But there's going to be people thinking about examples. You know, like we said, there's good examples, there's bad examples. The best of men are men at best. You know, I don't know what those other men were like whenever we first started going to one of the camps that we went to, and the other women that were Teresa's age, you know, would say, you know, well, you know, your husband, you know, this, you know, and they would tell me, you know, you used to be up here on this pedestal, you know, until they saw some things about me, you know, that I wasn't on that pedestal anymore, you know. So here I was an example for a while, but then, like I said, the, you know, best of men are men at best. You know, you're going to see flaws in people. And so we're going to see flaws in some of those people who, you know, we might regard, you know, as an example in one way. There might be another area where you might be an example unto them. You know, you might, some of the things they are an example unto you rub off on you, and you might be an example in other areas, you know, unto them, or help unto them in other places. But when I thought about this thing of an example, I thought about Brother Woodruff, and I saw him as such an example when his wife was so sick. And I remember there's times that we'll pass by a travel trailer and I'll think about this. I'll think about the story that he told one time, how that he'd been at the hospital and been with the doctors and gotten, you know, some of these diagnoses, and it was so grim. There wasn't much, you know, hope in the physical, you know, sense of improvement of his wife. And I'm talking about, he went outside, he went into the parking lot and opened the door to that travel trailer, and he just fell on his face before the Lord and just began to cry out to the Lord. But, you know, what an example he was, not just to me, you know, but unto other people, you know, there at the Bentley Camps, for instance, what an example of prayer, an example of dependence upon God, an example of hope in God, an example of a witness, you know, how he would talk about that he would talk to the doctors and talk to them about the Lord. You know, what an example he was in so many ways, knowing that what God was doing, you know, was right. What God was doing was good. In the end, you know, his wife passed away from this life into, you know, into eternal life itself. And, you know, he didn't abandon the faith at that point because, you know, God didn't heal her. You know, no, instead he continued to walk with the Lord, and he told me in later years how much sweeter his fellowship, you know, with the Lord became as he got older. But my point is, and bringing him out as an example, is that people are watching us. People are watching you. People are watching me, you know, and they're watching to see what you're going to do in a given situation. And we want to be able to be an example unto them, a pattern unto them, and be able to say unto them the same thing that we were talking about, you know, follow Paul saying, follow me as I follow Christ. So, I mean, we could talk about it from the negative aspect as well. We see weaknesses in people, and we see God being merciful unto them. We see the same weaknesses in ourselves, and know that God hasn't given up on them. We see strength in others and the positive side of things, and find comfort in knowing that if God can give them, that was one of the things that was my takeaway in Brother Woodruff's situation. If God can give him the strength to do the thing that he's been called to do, then he'll be willing to give me that strength. If it'll help him, he's willing to help me. You know, that's his child as much as I am his child. And if he's willing to do that for that one of his children, then he'll do that, you know, for me as well. So, you know, may our example be consistent with our confession, because, you know, we have a profession before men, but may our example be, you know, consistent with it, that we might be the patterns that Paul's calling us here to follow him as a pattern, but he's also calling us to be, you know, a pattern. I'll leave you with this. Hebrews 6, verse number 12 says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, inherit the promises. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. We'll leave that there unless you have some questions about it or some other thoughts about it.
Slothful just being slow.
Well, I mean, you think about slothful, you think about a sloth, and he's definitely slow. You know, it could be lazy. It would be the opposite of that heart attitude that says, I want to do this as unto the Lord. It's the slothful spirit would be, I don't really want to do this. If there's any way to get out of it, you know, I want to get out of it because I'm not interested in doing it. So it's, you know, go to the ant, thou sluggard. There's another word that's in the same category, you know, of that definition. Consider her ways and be wise. And that would fall under the same thing that you were saying as far as being slow, you know, slow to, we're to be, there's certain ways we are to be slow. You know, give me a verse in scripture that says something about being slow in a way.
Slow to anger.
Slow to anger, yes. Is that what you said? Yeah. So being slow to anger, that's one way we're to be slow. We're to be quick to hear and slow to speak. You know, there's ways that we are to be slow. But, you know, it's a virtuous way. The way the Bible's talking about there is not an act of virtue. It's an act of, like you said, laziness. It's an act of disregard. It's an act of, you know, not having a heart that's right in the sight of God in that way. So, good question. Anybody else have something else or another question or another thought? Okay. Well, let's go once again to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bow before you and thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the reminder that you so often give us of what we have been called to be, the reminder of what we see that we are to be in Christ. Father, we pray that you give us grace and help us to be that you called us to be, that we might glorify and honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.